The crew of the shuttle Columbia reported problems on board as they prepared to land this morning. The crew reported trouble with sensors that recorded tire pressure and other information. Shortly after 8 o'clock Central Time, Mission Control in Houston asked the crew for an update, and their response ended in mid-sentence.
Columbia, Houston, we see your tire pressure messages, and we did not copy your last.
Roger.
And that was the final transmission as the shuttle flew over the state of Texas at 18 times the speed of sound. Across the Gulf of Mexico at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe waited with families of the astronauts.
He's here this morning with the families of the astronauts and their friends. It started out as a pretty happy morning, awaiting the landing of STS-107. And we had highly anticipated their return because we couldn't wait to congratulate them for their extraordinary performance and their excellent efforts on the science mission on this very important flight. They dedicated their lives to pushing the scientific challenges for all of us here on Earth.
That's NASA Administrator Sean O'Keefe. Here are the astronauts who were killed today. The commander, Rick Husband, an Air Force colonel from Amarillo, Texas. The pilot was William McCool, a Navy commander from Lubbock, Texas. The payload commander was Michael Anderson, an Air Force lieutenant colonel who lived in Spokane, Washington. Kalpana Chawla emigrated to the United States from India in the 1980s. David Brown was a Navy captain, pilot, and doctor. Laurel Clark was a diving medical officer on submarines and a flight surgeon before becoming an astronaut. And Ilan Ramon was a colonel in the Israeli Air Force. We want to try to learn what happened today, and joining us now with more details is NPR's Larry Abramson. Larry, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
NASA says, understandably, that it's too early to say what caused the accident, but they certainly gave a lot of information today. What do we know?
They really did, Steve. That was a two-hour-long briefing that's very striking for NASA. I think that they're going out of their way now to tell people everything that they possibly can. The Columbia was on what is usually viewed as one of the most routine parts of the mission landing. Takeoff is liftoff is when people are usually worried. That, of course, is when the troubles hit Challenger. And 23 minutes before Columbia was supposed to land at the Space Center in Florida, temperature irregularities that you mentioned began to occur on the instruments in the shuttle. This is not necessarily cause for alarm. It was just something that was weird. The crew noticed it, said something back to Mission Control, and then shortly thereafter, the craft began to break up. And I'm sure everybody has seen the replay of the photographs of the shuttle breaking into pieces all of a sudden. It's not clear whether the temperature irregularities were a cause of the accident or whether it was the effect of something else going wrong. This craft was going at, as you said, 12,000 miles an hour. If it had assumed the wrong angle, if something else had gone wrong, it could have broken up very quickly. So these details are very interesting, but they don't give us the answers yet.
Tell us a little more about this problem that we've now heard a great deal about on liftoff of the Columbia.
Well, on January 16th, a couple of weeks ago, when this shuttle first took off, a piece of insulating foam from the external fuel tank broke off and hit the left wing. That's the same place as where those temperature irregularities occurred. NASA looked at this. They studied it. They even announced that this was not a problem, that they didn't know of any real damage to the shuttle, that the tiles that protect the shuttle from the extreme heat of reentry didn't appear to be too badly damaged. But they also didn't investigate it as closely as they possibly could have. And there's a lot of second guessing going on now about whether they should have paid closer attention. Now we don't know. It's possible that damage to those tiles from that collision with that foam could have done something. The final breakup occurred when the shuttle was experiencing the maximum heat of reentry, 3,000 degrees on the tips of those wings. It's possible that the exposure to that heat was somehow more damaging because of the damage to the tile. Also possible that the aerodynamics of the craft were interfered with by something breaking off. Any of these things or something completely different because it could have caused this tragedy?
Larry, I know with plane crashes, there have been so many disasters over the years that there's a system in place. There's an agency that does nothing but investigate them or very little but investigate them. There's almost a ritual, the recovery of the black box and so forth. Obviously, there is only one other experience like this involving a space shuttle. How does the investigation proceed?
Well, NASA will have its own investigation, and that's already underway. NASA has a huge amount of data. They've impounded all of this information about the angle of the craft when it was coming in, how fast it was going, what everybody was doing at every possible second. But there's also going to be an external investigation, the way there was with the Challenger, because nobody wants to think that NASA might paper over a mistake that they made. So they're assembling an independent commission. And of course, Congress is also getting involved. The chair of the House Science Committee has already announced that he's going to announce an investigation. So there's going to be a lot of pouring over of data going on right now. And maybe the most important thing here is the media, which is looking at these pictures very closely, because the media helped solve the accident that caused the explosion of the Challenger.
And in a couple of seconds, the investigation begins, but life has to go on for NASA, and there are three astronauts out in space right now.
Well, they were supposed to get a change out from a shuttle arriving in March. That is not going to happen. They may have to stay up there longer, or they may have to get a ride down with a Soyuz, a Russian craft that can give them a ride back down. But they have enough supplies to last them until June, so they are in no immediate danger.
Those astronauts on the International Space Station. Larry,
right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
NPR's Larry Abramson.